thank you for joining us again. Welcome to the New Regime Podcast, a Cleveland Browns podcast recorded after every single Cleveland Browns game. It's called New Regime because most of us fans are ready to start over after every single game. Hopefully not this year. It's going to be a better year. We all know it. We all know it's going to be a better year. Check me out on Twitter and Facebook at New Regime Pod. I am going to be walking you through this today. My name is Nick. I want to thank everybody who checked out the first episode. For real, thank you so much for checking out the first episode. It's going to get better and more awesome throughout the season, and hopefully it's going to get better and more awesome because we're winning. What are we going to cover on this podcast? First is a snap judgment of this game. Absolutely, we better get into it. Next, I'm going to talk about player fights and how much, to me, I can't fully appreciate the player fight the way people who have played at sports at a very high level can appreciate it. So we're going to talk about that. Things that scare me, actually kind of things that annoy me this week. We're going to compare this team to the 2007 Browns team. Remember that Browns team that surprised everyone? They started the season with Charlie Fry and then traded him what seemed like at halftime. Because he was so bad, and they chucked Derek Anderson in there, and somehow we became a good football team. We're going to do player up and player down. 3 points from section 346. They come from my boy Kevin, who's a season ticket holder at the stadium, and he's my friend from childhood who argues every sports point with me since the fourth grade, really. Everybody should have a friend like that. He's mine. We're going to get into his 3 points. We have 3 points from a non-Browns fan this time around. They come from a Ravens fan, of all people, but he's a good dude. I'm going to talk about him and his 3 points. Going to end the podcast with uniforms. We're going to shout out to people who are making nice mock-ups, hopefully in 2020. Yes, we're already talking about 2020 when we're going to have new uniforms again. And then predictions for next week. Thanks for being here. Let's get into it. All right, let's snap judgment. 5-0. Pitcher's duel. Defense showed up. Let's be positive. Showed up. Gonna keep us in some games this year. Myles Garrett, 2 sacks, 1 for a safety, abusing people on the field. He's gonna be the best player on the field a lot of times this year. He is. Remember how much hype he had when he was picked. It was warranted. Everybody was sure about Myles Garrett. 7 sacks. From the team, we had 4 turnovers, 2 forced fumbles, 2 picks. A lot of positivity on this defense. I think that's how they won this game. You know, I do still feel the Eagles are a better team. They turned the ball over an awful lot, and they got beat, right? The Browns did beat them to get those turnovers, so you appreciate that. I think that's how it's going to have to work for them to, you know, come out with W's against those better teams where they're just, you know, going to have to substantially win the turnover battle. Our offense, obviously a whole lot to be desired tonight. I think that's how our offense is going to be this year too. We'll just hope that they're not turning the ball over like they did last year, because this defense actually will win us some games this year if we let them. Terod and Baker, nothing super spectacular. I want to point out, though, Baker throws such a nice ball. Like, you watch him, and he throws some of those intermediate outs that he hit a couple of guys on. Higgins caught one. You know, you feel good about Willie's caught another. How Baker can throw that ball in that particular scenario too, where it's a long, you know, third and long, second and long, or maybe he's backed up in his own territory and he's making those throws. This game is not too big for Baker. You love seeing that, especially out of the rookie. I'm glad that he's going to be sitting. I'm glad we have Terod to at least play part of this season. We'll see where it takes us. Let's play ball control for sure. But you want to see more out of those guys, absolutely. Run game, Nick Chubb, 14 attempts, 46 yards, long of 21. So we had a nice long carry, but averaged only 3 yards a carry. Carlos Hyde, looks like he's just renewed playing in Cleveland. 7 attempts, 45 yards, 6.4 average with a long of 33. So he had the one big carry, struggled a little bit here and there, but you can tell the difference between the running backs we have this year from the running backs we had last year. We are more talented at that position, no question about it. There's promise for the season. There's reason for Browns fans to be excited this year, which I am. And I'm excited every year because I'm just, you know, hopeless Browns fan. But there is legit reason for us to be excited. We have athletes on every piece of this field. At every position, it feels like we have young talent. And so it's all about putting it together. It's all about that chemistry. It's all about them playing together as a team. So let's see it this year. I'm excited. Let's do it. Let's talk about player fights.
Round one, fight.
I think it's very clear that I need to work on my transition game a little bit, but I want to talk about the fights, man. Even training camp fights. Jarvis Landry, Terrence Mitchell, they got into it. Throwing fists at each other. Like that's part of their job. Like, isn't that weird how that's part of their job, punching each other? I mean, it's not a desired part of their job, but they do it because there's ego involved and it's hot. It's Cleveland. Training camp. Like, I don't think the average person like me can fully appreciate athletes and the intensity, both physical and mental, required to play these games. The closest I ever get to a fight at work is when I passively aggressively text my wife and say, Marsha is trying to steamroll the meeting again, right? That's the closest I'm getting. That's the closest most of us get. And these dudes are punching each other in the face with helmets. They're punching the hardest part of the other man. These guys are the best athletes in the world, right? I don't think there's any debate about that, right? There's no debate about that. Basketball and football, those are the best athletes in the country for sure. If you're a kid, the first thing that you want to play is basketball or football. And if you can't play that, you go, okay, well, maybe I'll play baseball. Unless you got a really good arm and, you know, you want to be able to talk when you're 40, you're going to play baseball. That's fair. And then if you can't play baseball or basketball or football, what do you play? Soccer? Is that the next thing? Join the golf team? I think it's weird how other countries are a little bit cocky about how good their rugby team is. New Zealand, I'm going to tell you this. I'm sure you're great. I really am sure you're great. But if we didn't have all of our best athletes playing way cooler sports, we'd mop the floor with you. It's just, we just have the best athletes. I shouldn't be cocky about this because I have nothing to do with it. Sorry, New Zealand. You wouldn't have a shot. We got great sports. You guys got a great place to shoot the Lord of the Rings movies. Okay, everybody has their strengths, and that little nose boop, boop, is what I'm going to tell you today. You know what I just realized? I was talking about how other countries are cocky unnecessarily about their sports teams, and I was just unnecessarily cocky about our athletes who have never played a sport before. In the favorite pastime of another country. All right. Well, keeping up with foreign relations. Hopefully this isn't shared with the Browns backers in New Zealand. Love you guys. It's time for
things that scare me.
Okay, this really isn't something that scares me. It's just something stupid that's been bothering me. I listen to all of the Browns radio stations and podcasts, and you probably do too if you're listening to this. And it really bothers me with all of the unnecessary, like, man stuff there is. Like, I heard an advertisement on one of the stations for man cans, and it's a can of wine that is being marketed to men. As though this was a problem before. Like, dudes were just like, man, I can't be caught opening a bottle of wine, bro. Not unless it says man can on it. Do we really need to... Are we really that uncomfortable with, like, our sexuality where we have to put Man cave? Do you really need a man cave? No, it's your basement. And your wife makes you go down there because you smell. Try showering. And then she'll let you have the rest of the house, along with the rest of the family. Man cave, man can, man crush. That's the worst one, man crush. You know what? I like Baker Mayfield as a player. Is that okay? It's just so stupid how we have to like pad every statement we make because we think that everybody is gonna just question our manliness, our heterosexuality. Give me a break. You're allowed to love a player. And I do. I love Baker Mayfield. He's going to be my guy. He's going to be my favorite player. I'm going to talk about him every week on this podcast. You ever notice that too? That's something that only just dudes who are straight dudes who are completely uncomfortable say, like, I'm comfortable enough in my heterosexuality. You never hear a gay person say, I'm comfortable enough in my homosexuality to say that guy's hot. Like, no, they don't do that because they're comfortable with who they are. Anyway, learn some lessons. Love yourself. Love each other. This is a great podcast. All right, I'm going to do a quick comparison. Look, the Browns 2018 team, receiving-wise, looks very similar to the Browns 2017. Back then, you had Braylon Edwards as your number one receiver. You have Josh Gordon now, the guy that just takes the top off the defense. You got to know where he is in the field. Then you had that guy who moves the chains. It was Joe Juravicious then, two podcasts in a row. I'm bringing up Big Joe. Joe Juravicious then, Jarvis Landry now. Jarvis is much better. Then you had Kellen Winslow Jr. on that team as your athletic tight end, the receiving tight end. You got David Njoku now. Although hopefully David Njoku does not have the same issues with the law that Kellen Winslow is having right now. Goodness, man. You want to hate humanity, go and Google his name or Bing it. If you don't know what Bing is, it's like the Yahoo of search engines, or DuckDuckGo it. Use whatever search engine you want and go hate humanity. All right, player up, player down. It's going to be multiple players this time. Our pass rush is going to be player up. We did some scheming. We just beat these dudes one-on-one like Miles did a couple times. A couple bull rushes that looked awesome. You love seeing that, just your defensive player completely overpowering their offensive player. Defensive pass rush, heck yeah, 7 sacks, that's player up. Player down, other side of the ball. Offensive line, you know, giving up some big losses. Tyrod not putting any points on the board, really. We got to see more, right, out of Tyrod. I know he's not going to put up 50 points a game, but we need this team to score some points, especially with all the playmakers. There really is no excuse. If you have the best playmakers you've ever had in your career, you got to put some points on the board. And granted, we're missing some pieces this time, and we had some blocking problems. We had, you know, some weird route stuff happening on that series down there at the goal line, but I got to see some points from the offense before I feel really good about this team. So that's player down. Player down, offensive line, and Tyrod. All right, next segment is going to be 3 points from section 346. This is from my friend Kevin. He's a season ticket holder in section 346 of First Energy Stadium. He's my friend I argue everything about sports with. His first point, new regime name, says I'm selling it short. He's ripping on my name, you guys. This is one of my best friends, and he's making fun of my podcast already. He said he's like, why are you calling it that? He's like, it's ironic that you're calling it that when you want us to win. I call it that because obviously if we start winning, we're not going to want to reboot everything. All right, it's just that since 1999, fans are so angry after just about, even when we win games, we're disagreeing about why we won. It's like, that's why we're all just awful right now. We all feel terrible because we've had losing just pile driven into us, Ghostbustered, if you're Coco Beware fans, into us. It's brutal. New regime, we're ready to start over all the time. All right, point two from section 346. This discussion point is probably its own podcast, and it's about how we argue about quarterbacks. When's the right time to take a quarterback? When's the wrong time to take a quarterback? And he cited the many times I've been wrong about quarterbacks. First one he brought up, it really stung, hurt my feelings a little, RG3. I said RG3 was going to be the man. I was mad we didn't trade up for him to get him. He had that rookie year that was phenomenal. I was on cloud nine, rubbing it in my friend's face, and now RG3 is carrying Lamar Jackson's spit bucket in Baltimore. So, okay, fine. I was wrong about RG3. I thought he had a good offense that he was in. If he wasn't listening to other people, he probably would have stayed there and had a great career. Look, I think a big part of a quarterback's success is his chemistry with his head coach. Do you think Tom Brady would have won here? No, he wouldn't have. So I think there's a lot of problems with this quarterback discussion I'm about to go on a rant for. He's like, you know, you like Derek Anderson. Yeah, I like Derek Anderson. He went 10-6 or 10-5, right? He didn't lose that first game. Charlie Fry did. So he was better than Brady Quinn. You wanted Brady Quinn, man. Derek Anderson's 35, 12-year career in the NFL. Quinn had 4 years. Lifted way too many weights. I was right about Derek Anderson. Yeah, I was right about Derek Anderson. He's a backup quarterback in the NFL. He had that one great season, but he was better than Brady Quinn. All right, here's another thing that we disagree on with quarterbacks, is when is the right time to take a quarterback? His point is that you don't take a quarterback whenever. It has to be the right time to take the quarterback. And I think philosophically, that sounds beautiful. But Sashi Brown would agree with you there. And Sashi Brown is fired specifically for his mishandling and being awful with providing quarterback talent. So while you're right, you would also be fired. I know all you needed to hear was that you're right. I know that's all you needed to hear. and I think, look, we could argue about quarterbacks all day long. I didn't want Carson Wentz. I was one of those guys who was like, nope. And I know that's this big second guess that everybody is. And as I recall, my friend Kevin did not want Carson Wentz either. We both wanted Goff or trade down. That we were both wrong there. Carson Wentz would have been the man. But were we ready for him? Did we have the team ready for him? Or would have he gotten killed too? Would we have thrown him in too early? Did we have the right offense designed around him? I doubt it, right? So to Kevin's point, he's right there. Look, you got to have the right situation to bring a guy in. Lastly, last point I'm going to bring up on this, I was a Baker Mayfield guy from the very start. My friend Kevin was a Sam Darnold guy. So we have that. It's on record. Who's going to win this one? I'm just saying, I'm just so glad we didn't take a USC quarterback. So glad I said it last week. I don't know. Looks like he should be riding a surfboard, not playing football. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I could be wrong. You know, I've been, like I said, Kevin pointed it out. I've been wrong about a lot of quarterbacks. I've liked a lot of quarterbacks that have been terrible. But I'm excited about Baker, man. And hey, look, I think we can all happily agree that I'm right if Baker, you know, takes us to the playoffs or wins a Super Bowl for us. So we'll be happy there. All right. Third point is we would just be better off taking all Ohio State players than the crap we've taken in the past however many years. Right? And he gave me this list. It's a very good list. Looking at 2016, Corey Coleman, already gone. Ezekiel Elliott, okay, still here. Still in Dallas, right? He's not really necessary to discuss. Let's see. 2016 also, you had Eli Apple. You had, he's drama, right? And then you had Taylor Decker, starting left tackle. Looks pretty good. You also had Darren Lee. You even had Michael Thomas, right? So that's the one that hurts the most, is he went in the second round. But would have he been that good on this team? Then you go down to 2014. You had Ryan Shazier. You had Roby. You go down to 2011. You had Cameron Hayward. Why does Pittsburgh take all of the Ohio State guys? Malcolm Jenkins, 2009. Beanie Wells, right? You look at the guys we've taken. Oof. Do we even need to go through this? Everybody knows what we've taken. Corey Coleman's gone. Danny Shelton's gone. Cameron Irving's gone. Justin Gilbert's gone. Johnny Manziel's gone. Phil Taylor's gone. Alex Mack's gone. Man, what an embarrassing set of talent. Just awful drafting. I mean, Alex Mack was great, but everybody else is just kind of embarrassing as a player. And, you know, that's the problem with new regimes, is a new regime has no loyalty to previous ones. So you're going to get rid of guys that could still be serviceable, like Danny Shelton's probably a serviceable player, probably a decent player, and we would have kept him if the same GM were here. But, you know, new GM rolls in, making space. So, oof. All right. Let's go with now 3 points from a non-Browns fan. They come from Connor Cawley. Lives in Chicago. He's a Ravens fan. So you kind of hate that about him. But he's a good dude. Really good dude. Really funny dude. He's a comedian. Runs a show in Chicago called Don't Tell Comedy. So if you're visiting, check it out. Go on the website, buy tickets. It's awesome. Please. He provides these 3 points. He's like, look, a lot more potential than usual. Solid wide receivers. Relatively proven QB instead of the usual first round gamble. Look, I'm with you there. Couldn't agree more. And look, how about a nice friendly point from a Ravens fan? I think an olive branch has been extended, and I appreciate that. Not too much rivalry jabbing here in this. He's just a good guy providing points, complimentary points, hopefully, on the Browns. This team does look pretty solid, right? We've talked about it. Athletes everywhere. They look decent. Second point from a non-Browns fan. The Vegas betting thing is crazy. So the Browns are being bet on more than anyone. They have the highest expectations for really the worst team in history. The Browns from last year, they're the worst team in history. And they're getting bet on to win. They're getting bet on like they're the fat kid who's going to beat Daryl in a sprint. If you don't know Daryl, he was the fastest kid in my elementary school. All right, no one's beaten Daryl on the playground at Chapman. Heck no. Nobody's beaten him. And everybody's been on the Browns like they're going to go. Yeah, I agree with that point too. It's insane how much people are confident in this team. I'm not there yet. I think we're just below a 500 team. Last thing is, look, they've looked good before and have been terrible, and it could easily happen again. And this is why every Browns fan is what we call shell-shocked, what they used to call shell-shocked. Now it's called PTSD, same thing. Not to provide a false parallel between this and people who have gone through some serious stuff, but Browns fans are very hurt. We are like a wounded animal when it comes to this stuff. We panic early now when things go bad. We have very little faith. We want to give up. That's why it's called a new regime podcast. I fall into this category. I'm exemplifying this point that I'm ready to start bailing as soon as things go wrong. I don't know. You see so much promise this year. You just see so much promise this year, like you did last year. Like, it reminds me of, have you ever gone on an online date? Like, I went on online, you know, I was doing online dating when it first came out. So this was a long time ago. And it's when someone has that grade profile pic, and then they were completely lying about it, and you realize how shallow you are. Yeah, man. It should be a federal crime to do something like that. That's how it feels when the Browns rip the carpet from underneath your feet. They look so good in the preseason. This means nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's a friendly reminder. It's a good point. This means absolutely nothing. We'll see what happens. All right. Uniforms. Look, I hated the uniforms more than anything tonight. Go back to the all whites, those orange pants, and the orange socks. Look, if you're going to wear the orange pants, just not the orange socks, too. They're so bad. All right, I'm not going to harp on how bad they are. But I will say that I'm looking for new ideas. So on Twitter, find me on Twitter. I want to see your new ideas. The best one I've seen so far, the best new idea, the most original new idea so far has come from at @WMW_studios. They made the best alt uniform I've seen. Out of all of Twitter, out of anywhere, like on the Plain Dealer, when they had that competition, the best alt uniform was my favorite. They did a white helmet, plain white helmet. I loved it. Check that out. They are doing some good stuff. So white helmet, old brown stripes on the sleeves. Simple. It's very much Cleveland. It goes back even further to our old school days when we were really winning championships. If we don't do that, I don't anticipate we'll go back to a white helmet. But if we do go back, I just say, cut your losses, go back to the 80s version of the uniform. White face mask, no numbers on the shoulder pads. That doesn't seem like much of a problem to me. Okay, predictions for next week. Really, we got one thing left. It's the game that doesn't mean anything at all, that no starters are playing in. It's against Detroit. The prediction is that Detroit's still going to be a worse city than Cleveland. They're kind of our joke, you know? I mean, everybody makes fun of Cleveland, but Detroit's worse. It's always been worse. It's not even close. Sorry, Detroit. Thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. I hope to see you again. Really appreciate the support. Take care. Have a great week. Go Browns.